Now that the dead period has started, let's take a deeper look at this portal class.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, Christmas Eve edition. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. Talk about this portal class, man, a little bit deeper dive. Talk about our favorite players in the class, guys that are going to have biggest early impacts, little guys flying under the radar, and then just an overall grade. How do we look so far as all the additions go? Do we fill our needs? Is there still a little meat left on the bone? All those good things we're going to talk about in just a second. But before we get started, let's give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use two coupon codes. You can use coupon code NEXTROUND for a 50% deposit bonus, and you can use that anywhere. Or you can use coupon code TNRCASINO for a 300% deposit bonus in the casino. So hit up the casino, win big, take all those winnings over to the sports book, and then obviously bet any sport you can imagine, any way you can imagine. Easy deposits, easy withdrawals. It's mybookie.ag. The dead period is kicking. It's silent. There's not a lot of action going on right now. No visits, only communication back and forth via phone, text, email, facsimile, whatever you want to, whatever type of communication you can come up with. That's all you can do right now. No face-to-face contact. And so you can imagine there could be some commitments, but more than likely things are going to die down a little bit until the dead period opens back up, or the dead period ends, and then visits are able to open back up at the beginning of January. So how's Auburn look so far? How's Auburn done so far? I tried to think yesterday. What's funny is yesterday my grade changed. I was going to give a grade for the class, and that was going to be the show. And then Eric Singleton popped literally as I was about to hit record. So obviously that changes my grade a little bit. So I would have said yesterday it probably went from maybe an A minus or a B plus to now I think it's a solid A. I think it's right there as a solid A. I'm going to shy away from putting it as an A plus. I think it's really on the borderline of A minus, A. Just a really, really solid class from top to bottom. Number four overall. It's really, really hard to complain about anything when you're the number four portal class overall. It took a big jump from seven to four when you added Eric Singleton. And I think, honestly, it could be higher, but the position, there isn't a ton of – there wasn't the class was not needed to be full of starters. Does that make sense? In other words, every guy you brought in, you don't have to be a starter. There are a few that 100% will be. And then there's a good mix of guys that you don't necessarily have to have them to be starters. So by that fact alone, probably the ranking of the class would be a little bit weighted down, because you're not going out. You're not Ole Miss, where you got to rebuild your whole roster. You're not Colorado. You're not Texas Tech, who's killing it in the portal, trying to go find 15 starters. You didn't have to do that because you recruited well in the high school ranks. You've built that depth. So maybe it's just a plug-and-play guy, or, you know, maybe you missed on an eval out of high school, or you had a transfer. So you're adding someone back into that particular class so that you can have your numbers right, that can come in and compete and still be, you know, possibly be a factor down the road. So that's the only reason I think you don't put it as like a plus number one, because you didn't really have to have, you know, I think you've added 14 dudes. I don't think you didn't have to have 14 starters. You got several that it will be, but you didn't have to have 14 starters. So I think that's why it might weight down the grade just a little bit, at least in my mind. You got, as far as the superlatives, you got the best available player at the most important position of need. That's Xavier Chaplin. You're the biggest need that you had to have was a left tackle. I mean, obviously people argue quarterback, but I would say the left tackle was more important than the quarterback. Didn't matter who you got. Didn't matter who you got out of the portal for quarterback. If you didn't get the fix, if you did not get the fix at left tackle, more than likely, it wouldn't have mattered. That was the most important thing. Two reasons I might give a little bit of a knock, okay? There's two reasons I might give a little bit of a knock to the class, and they're very small, okay? And one of them actually ends up being one of my favorite. One of the pieces ends up being a player in, you know, that's my favorite player of the class. But so let's start with quarterback, okay? A lot of this is because of the way the first 2 years have gone and the lack of success on the field as far as wins and losses. Okay, so you put added pressure on this year to win. You had to go get, if you weren't comfortable with what you had, which you clearly weren't, you had to go get a no-doubter. You had to go get you a guy that you felt was going to come in. There's no transition period. There's no warm-up period. There's a guy that's going to come in. He's going to be a dog, and he's going to help us, you know, help Auburn get to where they need to be and be competitive in 2025, not 2026, not down the road, right now. You got to have it right now. Now, in the defense of Hugh Freeze and Will Redmond and all those guys, I don't know that that guy was there this year. Definitely that had entered the portal and was available. John Mateer would be the closest, but that was always going to be a tall task because it seemed like Oklahoma, you know, had the whole package deal going with his offensive coordinator. Outside of John Mateer, there just wasn't a lot to me that you could label that guy. Okay, so you had to look around, you had to really eval, you had to figure out what you're trying to do and who fits the best. And you ended up, you settled on Jackson Arnold. Now you got him in. He was a consensus five-star out of high school, struggled this past season with all the turmoil and injuries and upheaval and firings on that Oklahoma offensive staff. But still, it's a little bit of a gamble. To me, I think his ceiling is incredibly high. He has all the skills, all the skill set that Hugh needs to be able to make this thing work. The ability to have those quick releases at different angles off platform, be able to make, you saw at the end of the season when they basically were just running a triple option, you saw him be able to make the correct decisions. Just take the Alabama game for an example on how to read defenses and read it with an option in place. But still, at the end of the day, it's a gamble. It's not quite that, I think, that consensus bona fide starter that I think everybody would be comfortable with. So I think some of that's not on the fault of necessarily the staff or anything. I think it's mostly on the fault of what's available, but I still think there's a massive upside with Jackson Arnold, but I'm just going to drop it down just a little bit because you didn't go get a 100% proven commodity, even though there may not have been that guy out there. The second one, little bit of a knock. This one could change. So this one could change as the portal goes on, because obviously things aren't over and we're just talking about up until this point. Linebacker. Okay. Linebacker is probably the only position on the team that I can think of where, as a room, it's a wide open competition. There is no incumbent, I feel like, based off of, you know, last year you had Austin Keys, Eugene Asante, Dorian Maosi that dominated the snaps. Those guys are gone. So all you have are guys that have not played a ton. There is no, to me, an heir apparent that's just going to step in and play. DeMarcus Riddick would probably be the closest, but he was more so of a, I don't want to say gadget, but he was more of a situational guy. So even he is going to have to come in and compete and win one of those spots. So I felt like at least you needed to get one senior Dorian Maosi type guy to bring in. Now, you very well still could, but I'm just got to grade up until this point. You did bring in a very young, very talented linebacker, but I would be a little bit I don't want to say concerned because the talent level is just crazy. You got DeMarcus Riddick, you got Robert Woodyard, who came on last year, showed some, to me, some burst, the ability to come downhill and make plays. You got DJ Barber still there that he redshirted this past season. You got guy, and then you're bringing in Elijah Melendez and Bryce Diaz, who definitely are going to get in the mix early. It's going to be hard, in my opinion, to keep Elijah Melendez off the field, but you just don't have that heir apparent. It's going to be a wide open competition. So I would knock them just a little bit until we see what happens. So that's why I came up with like an A minus to an A. That's the only things to me keeping it from being an A plus class, because it's really, really a fun class. So that's the grade I would go with for right now. Let's talk favorite player. My favorite player this class, so far, the portal class so far. I think my favorite player, based off of everything, I don't want to go complete homer and the easy pick. And this is not just trying to be step out on a limb. I mean, after everything I've watched, I think my favorite player is going to be Xavier Atkins, the linebacker from LSU. When you talk about linebackers and you talk about what you have to be able to play at this level, obviously speed has to be near the top. Size helps, but to me, you can't play if you can't run. And if you can run, it makes up for size. If you can run, if you can play, if you can hit, it makes up for size. And Xavier Atkins has elite speed, elite closing speed. You're talking DeMarcus Riddick level speed with maybe a little bit more initial burst. DeMarcus probably could beat him in a 40, but I want to say that first 10-yard split, it's going to be close, and Xavier may have him there. Okay, and to me, that may be a little bit more important to play at linebackers, that diagnose the play, then burst and make the tackle. I really, really like this kid. Again, he's going to get in the mix. You get to throw him in the mix. He'll be a sophomore. Young, talented guys. There's no true heir apparent. It's probably going to be the most exciting position battle of spring and then going into next season, because you don't know who it's going to be. You have no clue who the guy's going to be. It could be anybody, and I think that's a lot of fun. And it's fun, but it's also one of the reasons I knocked the class a little bit. So I know that kind of thing, and I said it would be that way. But still, I love Xavier Atkins. I think everybody on here that's listening, that's watching, I think you're going to love him as well. I can't wait for that kid to get here. I can't wait to see them in spring. So that's my favorite player of the class. Early impact. The guy that's going to give the most early impact. The easy answer is obviously Jackson Arnold, but I got to go with Xavier Chaplin. Hey, there's two Xaviers. I just picked two Xaviers back to back. That's pretty cool. Two Xaviers in one portal class. That's championship level right there. This is the obvious answer. Okay, this is sort of almost maybe even a cop out. I'm sort of ashamed of myself for not going deeper here, but I mean, it is obvious. If there was anything last year that you could point to that you could say 100% massive weakness, and that was what Auburn was going to do at left tackle. You had Percy Lewis, who, you know, you got late in the cycle after you missed a couple of guys. He was not a full-time starter at Mississippi State. And he came here and just struggled with his weight, struggled with conditioning, struggled with the playbook, pretty much struggled with everything, to the point where they would have to, when they would call the play, essentially whoever was beside him would have to tell him what to do. It became that much of an issue, to the point where you benched him. He didn't even hardly go in there at all. Except for, I think he went in, what, one snap against Alabama and got a false start. Just a complete disaster there. Dylan Wade is a great player, but he's not a left tackle. And he is a serviceable left tackle, but it's still, you don't have the length, you don't have the height. You're a true guard, but you're being asked to kind of play out of position in the SEC, it's just a tough task, a tall ask, Dylan Wade, to be able to handle all those elite pass rushers. So what do? You go out and you get the best tackle in the portal. You go get the best guy you can possibly get. Think about that. There is no better guy you could get at left tackle. You left no stone unturned there. You went and you found the best left tackle. And I believe I said that was the plan. Auburn was going to go get the best tackle that they could possibly get. They're going to go battle. They're going to go spin. They're going to go do whatever they can to be in the position to land the top offensive tackle in the portal. And they did it. It's one thing to just get a left tackle. It's another to get the best one in the country out of the portal. That's what they did. Again, when you're talking about Percy Lewis, you're talking about getting the number. When people say, "Oh, well, we did this last year. Look at Percy Lewis. How can we be excited about this guy? He could bust just like Percy Lewis. He very well could." But listen, what you're talking about. You're talking about the number one portal offensive tackle versus the number 13 portal offensive tackle. So you're talking about having 600 offensive snaps plus coming in. So you're coming in with 600 plus offensive snaps coming in versus 400. So there you go. That just goes to show you. I mean, we're not talking, these aren't the same things. They're the same position, but they're not the same things. You're 6'7", 330 plus. Very, very good player. I'm excited about everything that this affords the offensive line to be able to do. And speaking of the offensive line, this JUCO thing could make things interesting, because I think Xavier Miller has 2 years left. He played at JUCO for 2 years. So he's going to get a waiver for one. Now, and I think Auburn would love to have him back. So I think he's going to have the invitation to come back. Now you put him back in the mix. You've got some dudes to work with. You've got some really good guys to work with, especially with Mason Murphy adding in. Plus, you got Dylan Wade coming back. You got Jeremiah Wright coming back. You got Connor Liu. Then you add these guys to the mix, plus Xavier Miller. Auburn's cooking. They got some stuff to cook with on the offensive line. And I love what Xavier Chaplin brings to the table. And I love his game. I love what he affords this offensive line the opportunity to be able to be next year. So he's definitely my early impact guy. And then finally, I want to talk about an under the radar guy. I don't think this is done with malice. I don't think this is done with ill intent, but it feels like this guy is sort of being overlooked, especially with the newest addition, Eric Singleton Jr., and that's Horatio Fields. I feel like he's getting overshadowed. He's not getting talked about a lot. Mainly looked at as probably not a starter, maybe quality depth, which anybody you add right now is going to be depth. And again, that's not necessarily a knock on anything. It's more of a testament to what's going on in the room than anything. But let's talk about this guy for a second. You're talking about a guy who is a true 6'3", 205, 210, big, big bodied, long wide receiver with a lot of experience. Got 2 years of experience, and he's played a ton in both of those 2 years at Wake Forest. Again, I'm not expecting 1,000 yards out of him. I'm not expecting KLS numbers. I'm not expecting the offense to be built around him. But you're talking about a guy that played for Wake Forest last year who didn't throw the ball around a ton, that had the most touchdowns on the team. He was their touchdown guy. When they were going to look to someone to throw it up to go make a play, it was Horatio. And you're talking about a guy who just loves making contested catches. I mean, dude's draped all over him. He'll go up and get it. His highlight reel is almost all that. He had a beautiful touchdown against Clemson where he mossed a guy right on the goal line. There's several highlights if you look him up where it's, hey, he's making big catches in traffic. And I think that's something very, very important, an important element that you need to add to this offense. I could see him making some big plays. May not be a ton. I could see him making some big, important third down catches, some big, important, you know, red zone touchdown catches. I could easily see that out of this guy. Again, 300-400 yards receiving. That's all you really need out of him. And I think that would be huge, a huge element to add to this offense. Again, I think most expect him to just be a little role player, but I mean, I could see him even, he played a lot of bigs of quote unquote big slot too at Wake Forest. You know, you lose Rivaldo Fairweather. Who's going to be that big slot, that big tight end type receiver that lines up and gets a mismatch on a linebacker, not afraid to go over the middle and take some punishment? Why not Horatio? Why not he come in and maybe beef up and get to, you know, 210, 215 and be able to go across the middle at 6'3", long frame, big body, and make plays? I think he could carve out a role there. The targets are going to be available because Rivaldo's done. So, again, I think he's flying under the radar a little bit. Eric Singleton's getting a lot of the highlights and a lot of the headlines right now, but I think Horatio is definitely one to watch that's sort of, you know, flying a little bit. Again, just flying a little bit under the radar. So, guys, I hope you have an incredible Christmas. I hope you have an incredible holiday. I hope you travel safely and have some fun. Have some fun with family and just love on each other and just enjoy each other's company. It's been fun covering the portal. And I think it's going to be a little bit quiet here for the next week or so, and then it's going to pick back up again next week. But we're going to be here every single day, no matter what. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed. If you liked this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. And have a Merry Christmas. And we'll be back again probably tomorrow and the rest of the week. So it's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.